it's the religious spirit. And you would think from the name of it, it would be a good spirit. It's religious, like you and me. But it's not. There's nothing good about this spirit. In fact, it's in the category of being an antichrist spirit. It means this spirit opposes Christ, it opposes the Word of God, and it opposes the work of the Holy Spirit. So in the past weeks where you've heard me say things about some churches speak against the Holy Spirit or they speak against speaking in tongues, I personally believe that they have a religious spirit in operation in their church that has somehow skewed their view of God and God's Word about some of these things, listen, that they can't control. A religious spirit is a controlling spirit. And so anything we can't control, we're going to try to discount or say it's not from God or something like that. But I want to address it today because here's why. This spirit works through good people like you and me. This spirit works through religious people, good religious people. People that go to church every Sunday. People that read their Bible every day. People that serve. People that give. And that's what's deceiving about this spirit, is it operates through good people, but it doesn't bring anything good to the table. And in most of us, it's a blind spot. We don't see it. Other people can see it, but we don't see it in ourselves. And what happens is it brings division to the body of Christ. It doesn't build up relationships. In fact, this spirit will cause people to want to leave a church and never want to go back to church because of the hurtfulness that it can bring to people. Amen? And so today I want to talk about this spirit. I've titled today's message, Exposing the Religious Spirit. And two questions that I want to answer today is, how do you know if you have this spirit? And if you do, how do you get free from it? Are we okay? We okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth that keeps us on track. Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear your truth about this spirit, that you would open up our hearts to self-inspect and reflect on what we hear today, because Lord, if this spirit is in us, we don't want it to stay. We want to get free from it. We don't want it operating in our lives. And I pray that we'd have open hearts, open eyes, to be teachable about this and to say, hey, if that's me, Lord, I need your help. So have your way with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I'm going to share a story with you about Jesus and the Pharisees. If you remember, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of his day. And they were devout men of faith. They knew the law backwards and forwards. But because they did, they became arrogant. They became puffed up about it. They tend to look down their nose at other people that didn't know as much as them. And this spirit entered into their soul, and it influenced their thinking and their behavior and how they viewed God and how they viewed Jesus and how they viewed people. And I've got to be honest with you, I really think the Pharisees thought they were doing the right thing for God. But who knows that Jesus called them out on it almost every time, which tells me they weren't. They weren't doing right. They weren't in right standing with God. They thought they were. Listen, they thought they were. They thought they were right and everybody else was missing it, when in fact they weren't right at all. So this spirit I want to talk about because it can be very deceiving. And some of us, including me, we can think we're doing the right thing for the right reasons and the right purposes, when in fact we're working right out of the enemy's playbook and don't even know we are. And instead of building unity, we're bringing division. Before I get to Luke chapter 18, I want to just share a few things about this spirit. It's a spirit of division. It brings division to the body of Christ. If you've ever been wounded at a church, leaders, or the pastor, or maybe a member of a church, and they wounded you somehow, they belittled you, they called you out in some way. They made you feel less spiritual. And they didn't have really good biblical reasons to confront you. It was all pretty much man-made stuff, right? The way you dress, the way you look, whether you have perfect church attendance, whether you give or not. I mean, all these outward tangibles, and then they judge you for it. They confront you about it, talk to you about it, and they make you feel like this small. There's a good chance there's a religious spirit at work behind that. Now, listen, it's okay to talk about people serving. Why aren't you serving? You know, here at our church, you'll hear me say, if you're not serving, you're swerving. Why aren't you giving? That's between you and the Lord. But for me to use those things against you and begin to judge your heart that you're not really saved, that you really don't have a relationship, and if I take it too far and I start judging you and using it to manipulate and shame you, then I've allowed this religious spirit to work through me to hurt you and to bring division. You get me? Some of you have probably left other churches because of this spirit, and many people don't want to go back to churches where they can smell that spirit. Jesus always led with what? Compassion. He looked out on the crowd, the bunch of lost people, sinners, and he had compassion. People with this spirit look at sinners and they want to judge them and they want to point that accusational finger and say, God, get them. You ever been under a Christian leader like that? He just makes you feel so small. He doesn't try to build you up, he tries to put you down. He wants to tell you everything that's wrong with your life before he can point out one thing that's right in your life. That's a religious spirit. And I guess he means well, or she means well by it, but it does more damage than it does good. And there's a good chance that all of us have allowed this spirit to operate in us or through us, and we didn't know it. It's just a blind spot. But like you've already heard me say, it caused some hurt. It created some offenses, some divisiveness, right? And as a pastor, I have to really guard my heart and my mind against this spirit, because I have a leadership role. And if I have that spirit operating in me, then it's going to be contagious, and it's going to start operating in other leaders at our church, and eventually through the membership. And before you know it, our whole church will have this spirit, where we're trying to pick out all the things that are ungodly about people. Can I just go ahead and tell you, we're all ungodly. Amen. We're all sinners. And it's only by grace that Jesus decided to love us and save us. We should be like one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Amen. But if we're not careful, we'll start thinking more highly of ourselves, right? We have to have the look. Typically, their nose is a little bit elevated. Sometimes they change their voice. Praise God. They don't talk that way at home. They want to impress people, right? They see somebody coming, and they start praying. Oh, Lord. It's a religious spirit. They want to appear religious. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is a story. It's a parable. So it's a fictional story that teaches a spiritual truth. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There's a good illustration of somebody with a religious spirit. They trust in themselves that they're right with God, but they look down on everybody else. So Jesus is telling this story to make a point about people like that. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now right off, whoever's hearing this story is making a judgment, because Pharisees are supposed to have it all together and sinners aren't. So they're already thinking, these two went up to pray. Well, I bet the Pharisee got it right and the sinner didn't. That's a religious spirit that would make a judgment like that. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed this way, God, I thank you that I'm not like others. You hear the pride in that? extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do you hear the pride? The self-righteousness? And then verse 13, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You hear the humility in that. And then Jesus said, I tell you, here's the moral of the story. This man, the humble sinner, this man went down to his house justified, in other words, being right with God, rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Which man thought he was right with God, but wasn't? The Pharisee. The devout men of God that knew the law backwards and forwards. But because it created such an arrogant, prideful spirit in them, the enemy could use these religious leaders to accomplish his purposes, to oppose Christ and to come against whatever God was trying to accomplish through the gospel of Christ and to spread God's love around the world. Now, in a way, I've been like that before. You know, I've been walking with the Lord 35 years. Started out at the bottom, worked my way up. I'm now a leader of a church. And, you know, you talk to people and you see people do things, you know, and make stupid decisions. And it's easy to let this spirit come in and start judging people on the surface. And I've been these things. I've been these Pharisaical things. Not that I intended to be, but evidently I came across as being that way. Right? Judgmental. Anybody been judgmental before? You know, somebody walks in the church and they don't look right. Can somebody please tell me what the right look is? Amen. See, that's a religious spirit. I've created this thing in my mind, this formula, this standard, and if people don't measure up to it, they're not right. That's a religious spirit. Or they come in, they don't act right. Or they don't say the right things the right way. Well, they shouldn't do that. Don't they know they're in church? So we have to be careful, folks. We have to be careful because this thing can sneak up on us. And, you know, it's controlling us like a puppet on a string and we don't even know it. Our intentions might be good, but it ends up hurting others. Being critical, being fault-finding, finger-pointing. A person with this spirit will compare their righteousness with other people's unrighteousness and make some conclusions, right? And they'll usually put them in a category beneath them, right? I've put people in a category beneath me. Some people like to be called the Pope. The bishop. Now, I could be the only one, but I bet I'm not. I bet most of us, when I get through with this message, we'll go, guilty. So here's my suggestion today is not to condemn you. That's what a religious spirit would do. But to open your eyes to it so you can see it for yourself and then take it to God and say, God, I repent. Forgive me for being this way at times. We're not this way all the time. And here's the other thing that's tricky about this spirit. We may not be this way at home, but we're this way at work. Or we may not be this way at work, but we're this way at home. It's whatever the spirit needs to do to push your buttons to get at people he wants to divide. Or this spirit may not manifest until you come into church. You're not this way at home or at work, but at church, this spirit rises up. And again, you probably don't see it, but others might. What is a religious spirit? I think that's one of our questions. It's a demonic spirit that wages war against the grace of God in our lives. You know, when you do wrong, You can extend grace. When somebody does wrong, you can extend grace and say, hey, you messed up. I love you anyway. Let's forgive and forget and move on. Or there are those that say, yeah, you messed up, and you know what? I'm going to make you pay for it now. So you're going to have to step down, and you're going to have to be in timeout for a year. You're going to have to earn your way back into good standing with me. Is that Jesus? And that's the question you ask. Would Jesus be that way? Would you want somebody being that way to you? Now, I'm not against confronting people for doing things wrong or not doing, and sometimes people need to be disciplined. I'm not against any of that. But you gotta watch what your motive is. Is your motive because you're up here, they're down there, and you're gonna exercise that control and authority and make them pay? That's probably not a good motive. Or make them feel like they have leprosy. Leper! Beware, there's a leper! So it's a religious spirit that wars against the grace of God in our lives and the assurance that Jesus' work on the cross was enough for our salvation. Now, we might say that theologically, but we don't think that way. We think that, yeah, it's his grace, but you know what? You need to bring some good work. You need to clean yourself up. You need to bring some good works to the table. Because when we see somebody not doing something the right way, according to Scripture, sometimes we judge their salvation. Which means, are they saved by works? Are they saved by what I expect of them? Or are they truly saved by grace? These Pharisees are a great example. They were devout men of God and knew the law backwards and forwards, but it went to their head and they began to use it against other people, and their motivation was not pure. Their motivation was not the same as Jesus's. When Jesus saw a sinner, he typically had compassion. When a Pharisee saw a sinner, he wanted to point it out and make him pay. Not the same motivation. Not the same spirit. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. Can you imagine? That probably upset them, you think? Here are some of the characteristics. You might take a picture of this on your phone, but this should cover all of us. I'll give you a chance, just glance down it real quick. Judgmental, self-righteous, religious pride, critical spirit, legalistic, perfectionism, argumentative. You ever talk to somebody who just wants to argue the Bible? They just want to, come on, come on, come on. They think they're superior. They have a false sense of holiness. The holiness is that's on the outside versus the inside. Jesus said, never be holy on the outside, right? He said, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Controlling, condemning, intolerant, accusational. They scoff at the supernatural. Listen, we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and people scoff at that. They go, oh, that's of the devil, and that. I'm going to say that's a religious spirit working in them. Because if Jesus said it was good and we needed it, who's to come against that? Who? The enemy. Through a religious spirit. And here's something that I think the Holy Spirit dropped on me during worship this morning, and that is it's about control. We can't control the Holy Spirit, and we don't like to be controlled by the Holy Spirit if we have a religious spirit. Have you ever been asked questions about the Holy Spirit and you just didn't have the answer? That drives a religious spirit nuts. Because the religious spirit wants to have the answer for everything. And so they typically will say things about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, they quit. They stopped. So I don't have to worry about having their answer because I don't have the answer. But I don't have to worry about them because those things don't exist anymore. Who said? Jesus said, I wish all my followers would have these characteristics, and two of them were speak in tongues and cast out demons. How many seminaries are training their pastors? Those things don't exist anymore. That's contrary to God's word. That's contrary to what Jesus said he wanted to see in his disciples. That's a religious spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. And it's in a lot of our churches today. And the last time I checked, I think all the churches are pretty divided. Truth over grace. I did a sermon series about truthy and gracey. Some of us tend to lean more to truthy. Others, grace. I think too much of one or the other kind of gets us in trouble. I think Jesus had a perfect balance between truth and grace. Unteachable. We already know everything. We already know everything. Easily offended. Boy, just say, I don't think you're right. Just tell somebody with this spirit, I don't think you're right on that. Woo! They'll either attack or you won't see them again. They'll leave. So, is this okay? Huh? I forgot to tell you that one of the signs of religious spirit is people that get offended over messages about a religious spirit. I feel like kind of like Jeff Foxworthy, right? If you're this way or that way, chances are you've got a religious spirit. So I'm going to go down a quick list. You ready? Now, this first one probably not for many of you, but there are some people that find it hard to believe that salvation is by grace alone. I think our church pretty well understands that. But there are some denominations that don't believe that, right? That you have to prove your works. You have to prove your righteousness. You have to earn your salvation through good works. Another one is this. People with a religious spirit are very judgmental of others, especially when they fall short or don't meet their expectations. Like, we've preconceived in our mind what it should look like to be a Christ follower. And if you don't measure up, guess what? We judge you. We put you in a category. Or they use the Bible to beat people up and fault find rather than to build people up and encourage them to live for God. They can quote many, many scriptures to show you that they know more of the word than you. Or they cherry pick scriptures to fit their agenda or their view. They find it easy to judge others or criticize them over disputable matters. I wrote down a few. I was thinking back over the years of our church, people that I feel had come and gone that might have had this spirit. One time a guy asked me in class 101. Class 101 is our discovery class. And that's a class where we invite new families to come to hear more about our church, our vision, our values, our theology, and all this stuff. And it's a class where you can ask questions, right? It's a discovery class. And this one guy says, Pastor. And he kind of like changed his voice when he asked, when he goes, Pastor, what translation of the Bible do you preach from? And my first thought was, religious spirit. I said, well, I tend to preach from different ones. And his reaction was, I said, my study Bible is New American Standard. My travel Bible is New Living Translation, but I'll use New King James. I rarely use King James because you can't understand the words. But I'll use a New King James or NIV. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. Every once in a while, I'll use the Message of the Living Bible. Never saw him again. If that's you, you probably have a religious spirit. Dress up for church. One time a lady came. She came decked out, and she said, Pastor, why don't people dress up at your church? You've never seen me wear a suit unless it's a wedding or a funeral. I never wear a suit, really. And I got to thinking, I don't know, but you're welcome to. You're welcome to. I've never seen a scripture that says you have to dress up to go to church. If there's one out there, show me. Or the cross. We've had people leave because we didn't have a cross visibly displayed in our sanctuary. Never saw a scripture about that one. Lights.
You know, light. God said, let there be light. We got lights. Smoke. You know, the fog, the haze in the air. Revelation 15:8. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God. So I don't know what's wrong with you people. You need to raise your standard and get more aligned with God's word. Amen? Amen. Or this is kind of on the flip side. People never feel good enough for a relationship with God because maybe somewhere in their past they had that stinking thinking poured into them that you got to be good enough. Sister right here raising her hand. You won't come to the altar? Come on. No, I'm just kidding. No. There's a lot of people that way. And they don't want to come to church. Here's why. Because we're not good enough. They see themselves as dirty, rotten sinners. I can't come to church with all those clean, holy people you got there. And I laugh. Ha! Are you kidding me? We're all sinners. We're all beggars just looking for some bread. Amen. And it's really that one where people don't want to come to a church where they can smell this spirit because it's repulsive. It doesn't smell like love. It smells like judgmentalism, legalism. And who wants more of that? Now, I don't think our church permeates with this spirit, but I've seen this spirit operate in our church. And sometimes it's operated through me. So can you just get in it with me? This is not your problem. This can be our problem. And when you see it or when you sense it or, you know, if you have relationships with people from time to time, John, if you ever see a religious spirit coming through me or on me, would you pull me aside and give me a wet willy or something? Because I don't want this spirit to turn people off or run people away or cause division. And like I said, I may not see it. Let me give you a few examples in Scripture. Luke chapter 5, verse 30. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, Jesus' disciples. That's one thing this spirit does. It does a lot of complaining, fault finding. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These Pharisees were criticizing Jesus for hanging out with the very people that he loved and wanted saved. A religious spirit will, it'll be, you know, us versus them, right? Like you're either in my camp or you're outside my camp. And if you're not a believer, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That is a religious spirit. That is not the love of God. I'm sorry. You might have the 20-year pin in your denomination, but that thinking stinketh in the nostrils of God. You've heard this saying, hate the sin but love the sinner. Hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin, love the sinner. A religious spirit, that drives them nuts. No, I hate the sin and the sinner. Another example, Luke chapter 7, verse 39. A woman poured expensive perfume over Jesus' feet and washed them with her tears and her hair. You've heard that? Listen to this. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him... Jesus, saw this woman come in and sit down next to Jesus. Here the Pharisee had Jesus over to his house for a private meal. And this un-Christian, non-religious, some people say she was a prostitute, came in to the dinner. She wasn't invited. Came into the dinner and sat down and began to anoint Jesus' feet. Oh, that just drove this guy nuts. And it says, Jesus answered him and said, oh no, I'm sorry. And he said to himself, so the Pharisee's thinking to himself,
this man, Jesus, why isn't Jesus doing anything about this? And he goes, this man, if he were a prophet. You hear the arrogant? I'm reading between the lines. If he were a prophet, if he had the kind of discernment that I have, and they're talking about Jesus. Are you kidding me? If he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. As if Jesus didn't know that she was a sinner. Now watch this. Remember, he spoke to himself. No one else heard. He spoke to himself. It said, Jesus said, Jesus answered and said to him. Now wait a minute. Jesus just read your mind and you're saying he's not a prophet? By the way, folks, Jesus can read your mind too. He knows what you're thinking. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Yeah, I want to talk about your religious spirit. He goes on to let this Pharisee know that he was in the wrong and she was in the right. See, the one that thought he was doing the right thing for God was not representing God right. How often does that happen in the body of Christ? Well-meaning people. You know, the ones that hold the sign outside the stadiums? Turn or burn, you dirty rotten sinners! They think they're doing God a service. But where's the love of Christ in that? I like John 3:16. That always works. And then John chapter 8, I love this one. This is one of my favorite verses about the woman caught in adultery. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. That means they probably walked in on her, or maybe one of them was with her, I don't know. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Sometimes that's the desire of a religious spirit. They need to pay for what they did wrong. But what do you say? Verse 7, I say that whoever is sinless can throw the first stone. Verse 9 says they put all their stones away and walked away. And then Jesus looked at her and said, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. He said, Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Listen, here's what I would love for our leadership and our church to be like. We're not soft on sin. Sin is sin. We're going to call it sin whenever. We're just not going to beat people up over their sin. Because last time I checked, we all have a sin problem. And we all need God's grace and God's mercy to help us change and get better. So I'm not going to approve of your sin, but you know what? I want to be in relationship and pray for you and challenge you and encourage you and reason with you and look at God's word with you. And as you do, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you'll change because God convicted you and asked you to change, not because some religious leader was giving you that religious spirit stare or that look. You ever walked in and they gave me that, I came in not dressed very well, and everybody was, give me that look, that judgmental look. That's a look of a religious spirit. I've done it. I'm getting better. You know, as an old guy grows old, he gets a little bit more, what would you call him? Ken, you're older than me. Mature, maybe. Less nitpicky. A little more forgiving. Amen. And notice in all three of these scriptures, the Pharisees were the ones causing the problem. The religious people causing the problem. What harm can this spirit, this is why I wanted to really talk about it. What harm can this bring? I'm going to go through these real quick. Write them down. Number one, a false sense of salvation. Some people think they're saved, but they're not. The reason they think they're saved is in their own mind, I'm a pretty good person. And there's a lot of people worse than me. So if anybody's going to get in heaven, I should be in the group that gets in. Jesus said, nobody's good. You're all sinners. I'm the only one that was perfect, and I died so you could get in. So you have to worship me to get into heaven. That's it. But if you don't have the proper teaching and you think being good is the ticket, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the train. It'll keep people out of heaven. Here's number two, a false view of God in the church.
There's two reasons people don't come to church or come to faith. Number one, they've never met another Christian, or number two, they have. People say the church is full of hypocrites. You're right. So is the world. Why don't you come to church and end up in heaven? Because the world ain't. And we'll make room for you. See, you got to have some little sticky statements. So when you hear these boneheaded comments, you can defend God and the faith and say, you're right, you're right. A religious spirit likes to hear they're right. You're right. We are hypocrites. And we've got a seat for you. They'll probably leave. Number three, a form of godliness without power. We talked about that. I really believe this is a spirit that comes against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, is a religious spirit. And certainly if it's something I haven't received, it isn't from God. The need for deliverance. Boy, I had some heads come up on that one. Do you know that Christians can have demons? You need to. Some of you might have some. And we have a ministry at our church where you can get free from them. You can live with them, but it's better to live without them. I was full of them until somebody told me that I had them, and then they delivered them out of me, and I only get them from time to time. You have to guard your heart. Mind. Or the enemy will use spirits to use you against what Christ wants to accomplish. Number five, it'll bring division in the body of Christ. I've talked about that. Number six, it's contagious. It'll spread. Matthew 16:5-6. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were thinking about spiritual bread. Jesus was talking about spirit, something spiritual. And the leaven of the Pharisees, leaven is yeast. What does yeast do? It causes things to what? Be puffed up. He said, beware of the puffiness of the Pharisees, their religious pride, their arrogance. Beware of that, because it'll get on you if you let it. If you hang out in a church that has that spirit, you'll have that spirit. If you came from a church that had that spirit, you'll bring that spirit into this church. But guess what? Because we know about this spirit, we can smell it on you. And I'll tell my leaders, watch out. Watch out. Beware. No, that's what Jesus said. He said, beware. Did he? Yeah. Beware of the yeast of the what? Pharisees. Beware of that controlling spirit. Beware of that pharisaical spirit. It'll bring division to your church. That's why we need to be equipped. If you smell it, the first thing you do is you pray. And you look for an opportunity to have a conversation with that person. Or if you're not in leadership, let somebody in leadership know about this. You know, this guy's coming to our life group. This girl's coming to our life group. And I just really sense that they have a religious spirit all over them, and it keeps manifesting in our meetings. That's good to know. Right, John? Life group coach? We need to know that so we can have conversations. And when it gets to me, guess what? Yours truly, I'll give them a call. I'll meet them for coffee. And I'll have the conversation with them. And it goes something like this. I know you don't mean this, but when you do this out of the other, it turns other people off. They don't want to come back to your group. So would you help me? Would you help me by not doing that and doing this instead? And you be the reason people want to come to your group, not the reason people want to leave your group. Gee, Pastor Bob, that was kind of offensive. No, it wasn't. It was loving. I wasn't talking about them behind their back. I told them face to face, you're causing division, and you need to stop it. They don't even know they're doing it, but now they know. Now if they don't quit, guess what? Then it's, okay, you have to get out of the group. And if you don't change, you may have to go find another church. Wow, that seems kind of offensive. No, Jesus looked at him face to face and said, you're hypocrites, your father's the devil. I didn't go that far. Are we good? Some of you don't know Jesus well enough. It's contagious. It'll spread. Are y'all hurried to get to lunch? Can y'all hear another good story? So about 4 or 5 years ago, we hired a youth pastor here at our church. It came from a Baptist church. Baptist church is against Holy Spirit. Baptism, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I would say most Baptist churches have a religious spirit. They've come up with their whole new set of rules. Dancing, drinking, but they all do it on the weekend, but you just can't do it at church. But this guy was a good guy. He was solid. He had a great heart for God. He was athletic. He's young. And I'm thinking, okay, he can learn about this. That's not a deal breaker in my mind. It's not a deal breaker. But I brought it up in one of the interviews. I said, because I knew he came from the Baptist background. I said, are you familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, like, the gifts of the Spirit? Like, you know, the most controversial one, speaking in tongues. And he goes, yeah, I've heard about that, but never really been taught about it. And I thought to myself, I said, well, that's not a make or break doctrine of church, but it's an important one because we embrace that truth. And if I'm going to have a leader on my staff, I got to have a leader that's in agreement with that. I said, would you be open to learning more about it? He said, yes. So I hired him. And within the first 6 months, he and his wife both received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, and they were excited and they're loving it. Why wasn't I taught this in the Baptist church? Until he went home for Christmas break, got back with all of his Baptist buddies, and he came back from Christmas break and he resigned. And I said, why are you resigning? And he was hesitant to tell me the real truth. But I dug. I said, because here's the deal. You're going to have to meet with our board, and you're going to have to let them know why you're resigning, and we'll create an exit ramp for you. But, you know, to whom much was given, much is required. You were put in charge of a ministry here at our church, and we need some reasons. We need some valid reasons for why you're leaving. And he told us. I went back, got around all my Baptist friends, and they scoffed at this stuff and said, man, get out of that church. That stuff is not from God. His wife was heartbroken because she loved it. She loved this church. But she had to follow her husband. I mean, she didn't have to, but she chose to follow her husband. I think she did the right thing. She followed her husband. Unfortunately, her husband just wasn't in the right place at that time. It was a religious spirit. And when he got back around his old group of buddies that had that spirit, it affected him, and he undid some wonderful things that God wanted to bless him with that he would not have learned in the Baptist church. So it's contagious. And my last point, it'll keep you in bondage. I don't know where they are now. They might be back in bond. I don't know. But it'll keep us in bondage if we hang on to this spirit. This spirit will put fear in us. The fear of what man thinks, the fear of what others are going to think about me. I need to comply outwardly. I want to give this false image to people that I'm good and I'm holy and I'm all that, but inside I can't be transparent. I can't be open and honest. It'll mess with you. You'll hang on to your pride. You'll hang on to hopelessness or unworthiness. It'll limit your freedom and expressing authentic worship. This spirit really doesn't like people to raise their hands or dance. We don't do too much dancing. We do. Every once in a while, we'll do a little charismatic hop. We don't get too crazy. Huh? Raise hands. Clap. I came from a church where there was this lady, she was an Oriental lady, not that it matters, I just remember her being an Oriental lady, and she'd come on Sundays dressed in all white robe and garment, and she'd have like a little flower wreath around her head, and she came with a stick with some ribbons on it, and while worship was going on, she'd make her way down the aisle, and she'd come right across the front, and she'd stay down here for at least a song or two, just dancing, you know, spiritual dancing before the Lord. Well, if you look around, all the eyes are on her. And that happened for a month or two, and finally Pastor Rob asked another pastor on staff. That's what good senior leaders do. They ask somebody to do the dirty work. They asked this other pastor, said, would you just have a talk with her and let her know that we welcome her worship, but if she would do it in the back of the sanctuary so it doesn't distract everybody's attention. And she never came back. She left. Religious spirit. Religious spirit. When you worship to draw attention to your holiness, if it was really for God, she could have done it in a closet. But because she wasn't seen by man, she left. That's a good sign that that was a religious spirit. When people are in the wrong and you confront them and you point it out and they leave the church, guess what? Probably a religious spirit that's not subject to teaching and being corrected. Now, let's be honest. Nobody likes to be corrected. No one likes their wrongs to be pointed out, but sometimes we have to do that to keep unity in the house, to keep peace. Amen? So, one time we were at Shoreline, and we were on staff at Shoreline, and we had invited Tammy's grandmother to come in for, she came to stay with us, and it happened to be on a Wednesday night. So Wednesday nights at Shoreline was a little more expressive than Sunday mornings when it came to, Wednesday night was what, the believer's service. So we could get a little bit more charismatic in our worship than on Sunday morning when unbelievers were there and we didn't want to think we were nuts. So we brought Granny Smith, Church of Christ, to a Wednesday night charismatic service. And she's sitting there. Just had this mean, scowled face. And I said, Granny, you okay? She goes, bunch of heathens. I said, come on, Granny, loosen up. This is what they did in the Bible. You read the Bible. Yeah, you read the Bible at your church, don't you? You know, I was always, now, Granny, you're in heaven, and I bet you're winking at me right now. You don't have that problem anymore. It's a religious spirit. We had some neighbors 3 or 4 years ago that grew up Catholic, but they didn't go to church anymore. So we invited them to come to Generations Church. And it's still similar to now what it was then. But they came once and never came back. And I was asking their kids one day, I said, did y'all not enjoy the service? And they go, oh, we loved it, but my mom and dad thinks y'all have too much fun. And that's a problem? See, a religious spirit thinks you have to come in and be somber and reserved, like at a funeral. You know why we go to funerals? Because somebody died. That's what dead churches do. They come in and they get somber before the Lord. I'm thinking, no, you don't have to. If you want, hey, if you go to the football games and shout and cheer and whistle and raise your hands, and you don't do that in church, you could have a religious spirit. That's a good one to close on, don't you think? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, real quick, I'm going to talk more about this next week or the week after, 4th of July. So, Pastor Bob, I'm guilty on a few of these points. What do I do? Well, you do it like anything else. You confess it, you repent before God, and you ask God to set you free. And when you confess it and say, I don't want to be that way anymore, you'll get free. When you genuinely humble yourself and say, Lord, if that's in me, I don't want it to be in me. I don't want people to think of me that way. I don't want to be that judgmental, critical, fault finder person that just is ready to beat people up with a scripture. I don't want to be that person anymore. He'll set you free. And now you'll be on guard. I had a lady come up after first and go, well, how do we coexist with people like that? Because, like, they're in my family. I said, I don't know. That's a good question. I said, why don't you do some research and you can help me on my next sermon. So listen, this is in process. But what do? We don't want to carry it. How do we deal with people that have it? Right? Jesus said, you hypocrite, your fathers are the devil. I'm not sure that would be the best approach. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk more about when we have these spirits that aren't from God, how do we deal with them? So bow your heads. What do you hear God saying to you? What has God said to you through this message? If you're like me, you don't like hearing that you have this, but if you do, you got to deal with it. And so just confess it. Say, God, I'm that judgmental person. I'm that critical. I'm that person that walks around with, you know, I'm thinking I'm kind of above other people. And you might be more mature. But if you're the more mature one, it should drive you to be like more like Jesus, to have compassion. Not beat them up. Love them. How can I serve you? How can I help you? So, Lord, show us, each of us, in our heart, if there's anything there that doesn't belong. And would you challenge us? Would you give us the courage and the desire to want to deal with it and work on it this week and bring it to you so you can set us free? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.